Well, once again, I want to thank everybody for being on the call. It's certainly a privilege to have had the opportunity to be able to spend so much time with you. And can you imagine, for those of you who have been with us from day one, 3 months have gone by. So hopefully you've been given a lot of information that you've been able to apply and use and learn from and grow from and be able to work toward attaining your goals. And hopefully also you're seeing your vision becoming brighter and brighter and brighter. Well, today's session, our final session 12, what we're going to do is we're going to actually go through a review of all the information. Now, I don't know if this is really going to do it justice because we spent so much time on so much information, but we'll try to at least hone in on some of the key points. An advantage of doing that also is if you need a little boost once in a while of what the programmer is about, this is the good program, maybe the good session, at least the session that you can pop in and get a quick review of the information and also be able to direct you if you want more information on a specific subject, you'll know exactly where to go. I guess you could say the whole program has been divided into stages, not chronological stages, but stages as to what the purpose of the program is. For example, the first one, if you can pull out your workbook or your page on session 12, page 1 for me, the first sentence is, the main objective throughout this entire program is to first identify any, and fill in that blank there with the word limitations, to identify any limitations that might be slowing. The word slowing is the next one that might be slowing us down as we work toward attaining our goals. So the main objective throughout this program or this entire program is to first identify any limitations that might be slowing us down as we work toward attaining our goals. Now keep in mind as we started throughout this entire program, especially from day one, I emphasized to everybody setting the goal itself is really not that difficult. How many people do you know out there have set goals, including ourselves, but we've never made them happen? Why is that? Well, it's not because of the challenge of setting the goal itself. It's because of the psychological limitations that all of us have to one degree or another that prevents us from setting the goal. So the entire program really is based on helping us first identify these limitations. And if you recall going to session one, there were a tremendous amount of them that we talked about. A lot of them are the key things that really slow us down, and we'll touch on some of those in a little bit. The second stage, if you will, of this program is your next sentence there on page one, session 12. After identifying these areas, that's these limitations that we might have, after identifying these areas, we need to work on improving them. Fill in the blank there with the word improving. So what have you been doing? Have you been able to take the time to see where you need to improve? What you need to grow on? What particular area do you need to master? And at the same point, are you also being able to identify the areas of your strengths, where you're really strong at, and those areas that you really excel at? That's important to do. And then the final stage, the next sentence or statement, the final stage is to consistently follow through on our goals. The way that we're going to consistently follow through on our goals is, of course, identify any of these limitations that we might have. So session one, I think one of the main points in session one is that you must give something up to get something. You must give something up to get something. So if you're serious about this program, if you're serious about making change and going forward and really trying to master the art of follow through, you must always parallel a thought with that. And what is that? You've got to give something up. There is no free lunch. So what are some of the things that we had to give up? What are some of the things that we had to focus on that might prevent us from getting to that next level? Well, we talked about how much do we believe in ourselves. If we don't believe in ourselves enough toward setting our goals, where are we going to get the drive and enthusiasm? We have to have a belief in ourselves. That was very important. Are we effective as communicators? Are we able to communicate our message to other people? There are so many things that we discussed on page one of session one that we really need to learn to master. We talked about mastering the fear of success, the fear of failure. Perhaps the number one reasons really people fail to succeed is because of these fears. An important process, too, that we really honed in a lot that's very, very important. Remember, you cannot change what you do not acknowledge. Incredibly important, you cannot change what you do not acknowledge. A lot of people are not willing to admit some of the areas that they need to work on. And if we can't admit it, we can't change it because we're not going to acknowledge it. So I would assume then by you just being a part of this call, it really means that you're the type of person that recognizes the areas that you want to grow in, and that's why you're here, because you want to keep growing. And I commend you for certainly doing that. Let's talk a little bit about session two. I enjoyed sharing a lot of the information on session two. It was identify your passion. Fill in the blank there with the word passion. Remember, again, we're on session 12, page 1. Identify your passion and learn how to fuel it. Learn how to fuel it. A lot of people don't know what their passions are. So if that's the case, we need to identify what the passion is. And not only do we want to identify what our passions are, we need to really know how to fuel it. And we talked about a lot of neat and different, unique ways to figure out how we can fuel our passions. One of the things that I emphasized in this particular session was, if you have specific ways that you fuel your passions, do you know what they are right away? And if you don't, we want to write them down. And we want to make it a habit to work on fueling our passions. Why do we want to do that? Well, if we work on fueling our passions, when you get excited and passionate about something, don't you feel differently? You feel happier. You feel motivated. You get that feeling of wanting to do something, attack something, move forward, get closer to that goal. And when we fuel our passions, that's what it does for us. It gives us that specific excitement that we need, and it's just not, you know, a whim of excitement, and all of a sudden we just get excited and we drop. Now, some people do that, but what we want to do is, when we get excited, we need to reward that excitement by taking action. A lot of people have passions about things, but they don't take that passion and turn it into action. What we have to do is, when we feel passionate about something, see if we can turn that passion into action. How do we do that? Well, when we know specifically what our step-by-step plans are that we have to implement towards setting our goals, when we know what they are, as we feel some of this excitement and passion, we want to try to grab on to some of these step-by-step plans and make sure we implement them. As we implement some of our plans, it's just common sense at times we get a little discouraged. Things don't go the way that we plan. What are we going to have to do now? We're going to have to look for more ways, again, to keep fueling that passion, just like a fire. How do you keep it fueled? You got to keep adding more firewood to it, more oxygen to it, more fuel to it. Same thing with our passions. We have to do the same thing. Now, I alluded just a moment ago that as we work toward our goals, sometimes it does get challenging and very difficult. No question about it, it happens to me. I've been doing this many, many years. It happens to many of you, and I understand that. The key, then, is we have to look for ways that we can change gears psychologically. In other words, when we feel like throwing in the towel and it's challenging for us, what do we do to mentally change gears where we keep going forward? Well, we talked about the law of inertia. Recall what the law of inertia was on session two? The law of inertia stated that things that move want to keep moving. What's interesting is, the way I teach people, I let them understand that, hey, you know, it's okay to want to throw in the towel sometimes. It's human. But it's really not that okay to reward that thinking. Because if you reward that thinking, what's going to happen? You are going to throw in the towel. You are going to quit. So let's acknowledge that, hey, okay, at times I feel that way. So what do we do, though? What do we do when we feel that way? Because if we don't change that thought process, we're going to reward it. Then we will throw in the towel. So what do? We change a thought process with the law of inertia. Things that move want to keep moving. Remember, it doesn't say it has to move fast. It just has to move. So when we're down, when we're down and out, we don't feel like going forward, we've got to at least move forward. In other words, if you have to be on bloody knees at 0.00001 miles an hour, that's okay. Why? Because you're still moving forward. So that's the key. Don't forget the law of inertia. We talked to about session three. And on session three, we look for specific ways to fuel our passions. Specific ways to fuel our passions. We talked about that a little bit on session two, but in session three, we really broke down specifics on that. In other words, we need to figure out, what specifically are we passionate about? You might be passionate about one thing. You might have five things. Maybe there's seven or eight things. But figure out specifically, what are some things that you're passionate about? And for each one of those things that you're passionate about, we need to figure out specifically what do we do to fuel each one of those individual passions. We want to really make sure we make a note of that so we can do everything that we can on a regular basis to keep that passion fueled. Let's go to session 4. Session 4 under session 12 in our review, by consciously, fill in the word with the word consciously, consciously. By consciously acknowledging what causes us to get sidetracked, fill in that next word with the word tracked, sidetracked, and working on these specific things, we will be able to maximize our time, fill in the word with maximize in that blank there, maximize our time and attain our goals in less, L-E-S-S, in less time than planned. Strong point. Let me repeat that. By consciously acknowledging what causes us to get sidetracked and working on these specific things, we will be able to maximize our time and attain our goals in less time than planned. Unfortunately, when I walk into an office working with people, watch a group of people, maybe if they have specific goals individually or goals as a company, what I'm seeing a lot of is people who are so easily sidetracked. And I think we all have a tendency to do that to some degree or another. We get sidetracked by maybe we wanted to write an email, and because of that we got another email, and that opened up that email, which took us to another website, which took us to another website, and before you know it, you don't even remember who you're supposed to email. It happens to me too. The key is to know specifically for you individually, how do you get sidetracked? One person gets sidetracked in a certain way, another person, that doesn't even phase them to get sidetracked on, but they get sidetracked on something else. And the reason we want to identify what we individually get sidetracked with is because this is the sign of how we start actually getting off of track, and we need to consciously know what these things are, because as they happen, we need to have like a red flag in front of us saying, well, up, right here, here's your way of possibly now getting sidetracked. And I've seen people get so sidetracked, they will literally go off track, and whatever it was that they were working on, they're no longer on it for maybe an hour or two. Can you imagine? Here's something that we're supposed to be working on, and then we get a little sidetracked, and we forget what we're supposed to be working on, or we don't even get back to it for an hour or two. That is why it's so important to know how we get sidetracked and do what we can to nip that in the bud, because when we can do that, we're really maximizing our time, and what we're going to do is we're going to attain our goals in really half the time than we originally planned. Here's a key point that we discussed in session 4. It's very, very important, and I hear a lot of people, unfortunately, they misuse this information or don't quite understand it or are not sharing it in an effective way. A lot of people will tell other people who are getting into this goal-setting information, they'll say to them, hey, you've got to have a why. What is your why? And somebody says, well, my why is my kids, or my why is I want to do this or that. And the person who asks them that question, many times they just accept that as the answer. And they think because a person had a why that, okay, they're all set up now to attain their goals because they have a why. Well, let's talk about this key point here. Session 4. The why, fill in that first blank with the word why, the why isn't the most important factor in working toward our goals. All right, if that's the case, what's next? Well, here's the next statement. What's more important is the amount of value. Ah, that's the key word. Put the word value in that first blank. Is the amount of value that's placed on the why. Friends, don't forget that. Just because a person has a why means nothing. It's how much value do they have on that why. Going to ask you a question. We went over it in session 4. It's rhetorical. Answer it in your mind. In fact, I'd probably recommend you not even answer it at all. Just listen for the answer and then go ahead and understand it even a step further once you get the answer. If I get a person and I ask that person, why is it that you want to change this behavior? Let's say that person puts down one thing. That's it, just one. I get another person, and I say to that person, why do you want to change this behavior? And that person literally writes down 500 reasons why they want to change. Here's my question to you. Really, don't answer, just listen. Which person has the greater odds of changing? Well, if you think about it really quickly, you might want to lean over to the person that's got the 500. You think, wow, he's got 500 or she's got 500 reasons why he or she wants to change. Oh, his odds of wanting to change or going to change really are going to be greater than the person that has one. But it's not necessarily true. So how do we determine which person has a greater odds of really making the change and attaining their goal? The person with the one? Why? Or the person with the 500? Here's the real answer. The answer is whoever has the most value on the information that's written down. A person with only one reason why they want to change, that thing, that one thing can be so strong, it could vastly, vastly overpass the person with 500 things. So just because we have a lot of reasons why we want to change does not give us enough reason to really make change. It's the value that we have on it. I've seen many, many people who want to become or say they want to become more successful financially, or they want to quit smoking, or they want to lose weight, or whatever it is. But a lot of these people, they're not willing to take the necessary action steps to do this. Why? Because they don't have a high enough value, even though they have reasons why. So don't forget that. What's more important is the amount of value that's placed on the why. So be careful if you're the person that's really going to other people and you're trying to get them involved in your goals along with you, and you say, hey, you got to have a why. What's your why? All right, so they give you a why. Now what? That doesn't make that person or create in that person the ability to make change just because they have a why. Yes, it's a place to start, but after we figure out why, how strong of a value is it? And here's one way or a measuring rod for us to determine how strong our value is on the why. If we think that we have a lot of whys as to why we want to succeed at this particular goal, and we don't seem to be following through on it on a consistent basis, basically that should be a sign, a signal, or a measuring rod to you to let you know that your definition of why isn't really that strong, because a person who's truly, truly valued their reason of why, that person takes action consistently. Imagine if I said to you, and you believed me, that I had $1 million worth of gold treasure hidden in your backyard. How many of you would be pretty motivated to start digging if you haven't gone to run now? I think most of you, if you're motivated or have a value on money, or at least have a value on the gold, you would go out there. You would go out there consistently, day in and day out. Then you might have somebody that just, for whatever reason, they don't have a value on the money. They may go out 1 or 2 days. They lose some of that belief. They just drop the idea, leave it alone. Their why was not strong enough. It was not high enough, even though both people had whys. Friends, the key is you've got to have a strong value on that why. So next time you hear somebody say to you, what's your why? Well, that's a start, but do you have a value on the why? Good session. Well, let's talk a little bit about session 5. We're still on page 1 of session 12. We're reviewing session 5. Don't let other people fill in the blanks with the two words, rent space in your head. Don't let other people rent space in your head. It's so easy to do. When we're letting other people rent space in our head, what it amounts to is we're allowing external stimuli to affect us. In other words, we're allowing people, when they say things like, no, I'm not interested, what do you think you're doing? You don't have any experience at this. And then as we're hearing this negative trash, we're starting, if we're not careful, to believe some of this. If we start to believe some of this, will we be excited about talking to the next person? The answer most likely would be no. So what we're actually doing now is we're letting other people rent space in our head. We can't afford to do that. Now, I think as humans, because we are human, we allow it to some degree or another. But the key is, what level of degree do you allow it? Are you like that bumper car that we talk about? You know, you get hit from the front, you go to the back. You get hit from the left side, you go to the right. You're wishy-washy. Remember, if you're wishy-washy in your thinking, you'll be wishy-washy in your results. If we allow other people to rent space in our head, we become a puppet on a string. People can move us any way they want. So we talked a lot about how to manage that. This is where we focused on that term, mental vertigo. Remember that? That's the next two blanks that you're going to fill in there with the word mental and then the word vertigo. Mental vertigo is a state of mind that can cause you to instantly want to quit. Be careful of mental vertigo. Keep in mind, when we get into mental vertigo, what do we actually do? We actually start to fly by our feelings, not by our beliefs. See, one of the beliefs that we should have in life, in business, whatever it may be, is we want to keep going. We want to have that never give up attitude. That's the belief. But what happens many times because of inexperience, because other people start throwing this negative stuff at us and we allow other people to rent space in our head, what's going to happen now is we get some of these negative feelings, some of the negative feelings that might say, well, I don't know if I can do this. Boy, this is difficult. No one wants to listen to me. And if we're not careful, we are now getting into mental vertigo and we're flying by our feelings, not by the instruments. That's what happened to JFK. Remember that illustration? He had an airplane, mega expensive airplane, had the best equipment, but because he did not have the experience, he did not fly by his instruments. If he had the experience, he would be able to be alive with us today because he would have flown by his instruments. Now, he's an intelligent man. But how come he did not fly by his instruments? Because he did not have enough experience. He got into vertigo and he flew by his feelings. The key is, if you fly by your feelings, you're not going to stay long. You're going to crash. So then if we don't fly by our feelings, what should we fly by? Well, we need to fly by our what? We need to fly by our beliefs. But here's the key. A lot of people, they don't even know what their beliefs should be with regards to their goals. So for every goal that you work on attaining, whether it be spiritual, financial, emotional, you need to have a whole different set of instruments or beliefs per goal. And if we don't know what those beliefs are, we're going to be that much more susceptible to mental vertigo. We're going to fly by our feelings and we're going to crash. So we really spent a lot of time talking about how to master this mental vertigo. And the key is when we're mastering mental vertigo, what we want to make sure that we do is really hone in on our beliefs. So that any time that you feel down, you feel negative, you feel like throwing in the towel, you feel like you're, okay, hey, I'm going to acknowledge now I'm in this mental vertigo state, you instantly have to mentally go to your beliefs. So when I'm in a real airplane and I'm flying, there are times, especially if the weather's bad and I'm getting really beat up in the clouds, I will acknowledge right away when I'm in vertigo. In fact, when I'm with a pilot, I'll tell my pilot, I say, hey, I'm in mental vertigo. I think I'm flying to the left. Look at that. We're actually flying straight. What's it telling you? And he'll say, wow, I think I'm flying to the right, but it looks like we're flying straight. How about that? The key is acknowledge that you're in it when you're in it, because that's a danger point. When you're in mental vertigo, you need to acknowledge it. Then once we acknowledge it, we now know that, hey, we've got a problem here. We've got to learn to ignore these feelings. Let's go to our instruments. So the moment I feel mental vertigo in a real airplane, I know right away to overboard, if you will, or heavily concentrate more than the normal on my instruments. And that way it enables me to have a safe flight. So watch out for that mental vertigo. It is a virus to success. Make sure you don't have it. Follow me on to page 2 of session 12. On this page, we go through now session 6. Session 6, the statement is maintaining a healthy perception of ourselves is key. Very true. Maintaining a healthy perception, fill in that blank with the word perception, it really is a key. So we spoke about how important it was to have self-esteem. A great way to have self-esteem is to accomplish things. It doesn't have to be big things. It can be just little things. If you have a to-do list that you know you can accomplish in an hour or two, and if you write down that to-do list and as you accomplish these things, you check them off, It just gives you a feeling of accomplishment. And as we have that feeling of accomplishment, it does help build a good, healthy perception of ourselves. Another thing, too, that having a healthy perception does for us, it helps us to be less prone to rejection. And a lot of people who are really prone to rejection, they have a hard time going forward because they reason in their minds, whether it be consciously or subconsciously, why go forward because all they're going to do is reject me anyway. And the more we have this feeling of rejection, the less we want to go ahead and keep going forward. Let's go to the next statement on session 6. Do not allow rejection. Fill in the blank there with rejection. Do not allow rejection to keep us from following through and quitting. And we talked about some specific ways to do that in session 6. We also saw the need for the next important, powerful statement. Friends, you don't want to forget this one. For every thought I act on, I get a result. For every thought, fill in the blank with thought, I act on, I get a result. So what's that telling us? What that says is that for every thought that we act on, we get a result. All the results that you get in your life, the financial ones, especially the mental and the emotional ones, they stem from our what? Our thought process. Now, you've heard the statement before. You've heard me say it. If you think the way you've always thought, you will always get what you've always got. So if we want to get something different or maybe something, you know, more of something, often we have to change the way we what? The way we think. And that's why it's so important, if we go back a little bit to that word mental vertigo, those words, that's why it's so important to learn to master mental vertigo, because if we get a negative thought process, remember, for every thought I act on, if you act on a negative thought process, what kind of result are we going to get? Well, the kind of result we're going to get is I want to quit. I want to throw in the towel. Why? Because for every thought we act on, we get a result. Let's go to session 7. We are the sum, fill in the blank with the word sum. We are the sum total of everything. That's the next blank, everything. We are the sum total of everything we have ever experienced in our lives. These experiences start from the day we are born to this very moment. Good point to remember. So what it amounts to then is we are really being programmed by these things. Let's go to the next statement under session 7. We learn to identify what is good programming and what is bad. Fill in the blank with the word good and the other blank with the word bad. We learn to identify what is good programming and what is bad. So then if you buy the thought that we are the sum total of everything that we've ever experienced in our lives, what it amounts to then is that has made us to a degree, barring the DNA and so forth, that has made us in a sense of who or what we are. We have been programmed by culture, parents, grandparents, teacher, religion, country that we're born in. These are things that have really programmed a lot of us. So here's the key, though. Some of that programming is good, and some of it is not. I believe it's so, so vitally important that we get to a point in our life where we say, this is the type of programming that I don't choose, I don't want it, and hey, here is something that I really like, I'm going to keep this. Do we have the ability to do that? All of us have the ability to do that, but the question is, are we doing that? So when we hear certain information, we have the choice, as that information comes to our brain, we have the choice to say, okay, I'm going to accept that, or I'm not going to accept that. Why is it important to make that choice? Well, if we don't make that choice, then we're basically going to absorb everything, whether it's true or not. Remember, the smart person believes half of what he hears. The intelligent person knows which half to believe. And if we don't buy that thought, we just start accepting every little thing. We believe everything we hear. We don't substantiate anything. We just say, well, that's what I heard, and this is the way it is, and so forth and so on. And the danger in doing that is a lot of that may not be true. And if a lot of the information that we're taking into our mind, a lot of these thought processes, if they're not true, how can we get great results? So the key is we have to learn to have the ability to really identify what's good programming and what's bad programming. Of course, one of the ways to do that is we need to identify whatever the thought process is that we're trying to analyze. If we were to act on that thought process, what kind of result or results would it give us? If it would give us results that are in harmony with our goals, most likely it's probably good programming. If it's results that are not in harmony with our goals, most likely it's bad programming. So my question to you is, how about you? Are you choosing the type of programming that you're allowing into your mind? I'll let you answer that one on your own. I hope the answer is yes. If the answer is I'm not sure, well, then the answer is no. And if the answer is no, hopefully you'll work diligently in learning to change that. Why is that important? Because for every thought we act on, we get a result. So it's all about thoughts. It's all about the programming and the conditioning. We want more results or better results. It's really dependent on our thought process. In Session 8, I enjoyed Session 8. Session 8, we talked about helping other people. That was one of the statements or questions on our evaluation on Session 1. I thought Session 8 was quite ironic, though, because here we are talking about helping other people, and then I throw this statement at you from Oprah Winfrey. And it says, fill your own well, fill in that blank with the word well, fill your own well so your cup can run over, that's the next blank, the word over, to help others. Fill your own well so your cup can run over to help others. Too often in life, we really don't take time to fill our own well. And if we don't fill our own well, what happens is we deplete all of our energies. Sometimes we deplete our energies by choice, by giving and doing things for other people. Sometimes we deplete our energies not because of choice, just because of the stressful situation perhaps that we might be in. There's a lot of reasons, and we talked about this in Session 8, there's a lot of reasons why people don't fill their own well. They feel guilty. And that's a rough feeling to have. If you have feelings of guilt, you're going to have a hard time filling your own well because you're going to feel maybe that, you know, I really need to be doing this for my kids, or I should be doing this for this person or that person. I shouldn't spend money on myself because they need to go first. And that all may be well and true, but at the same point, we still have to keep our own well filled. So we talked about specific ways to do that. That's something you want to keep reviewing. Look for specific ways that you personally do specific things that fill your own well. For me, I have specific things that I know that I do on a regular basis. You can figure out what it is on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, even a monthly and a yearly basis. So make sure you fill your own well so you can help other people. And it's important really to help other people, because if we get so obsessed in what we're doing, I can promise you when you get there, wherever there is, you'll wonder why there's just no excitement anymore. And you'll think, wow, is that all? In fact, I was watching TV this weekend, and there was a celebrity on there that had talked about some of his feelings in the past. And one of the things that he thought about and he expressed with the person interviewing him was he had acquired a certain amount of money. He was quite wealthy at the time, and he remembers consciously just saying to himself, is this all there is? So if we're not giving enough to other people and doing things for other people, I can assure you when you get there, wherever there is, you're going to wonder, wow, is this all there is? And then life is going to be very unfulfilling, and it's very empty to have an unfulfilling life, and we certainly don't want that. We touched a little bit about the art of communicating and how important that was. The next statement there was, you measure your communication skills by the response you receive. You measure your communication skills by the response is the first blank, the response you receive. Very good point to remember. Let's go to Session 9. We hear this a lot. I want to get there. Get where? What is it? Clearly define what your it is. A lot of people don't know what their it is. When we talk about what your it is, it's when people say, I truly deserve it, or I really want to get there because I really deserve it. What is it? We need to specifically know what our it is. And no matter what the it is that you've clearly defined, you have to remember the next statement. It's really a question. Are you willing to pay the price? Under Session 9, a second question there. Are you willing to pay the price? Watch out for this one. Remember what I talked about here in Session 9. If I get a group of 1,000 people, and I ask that group, show of hands, how many of you here are willing to pay the price? I kid you not. If I don't get 1,000 people, I'll get 999 people. They'll all put their hands up and say, yes, I'm willing to pay the price. And a small, small majority of all those 1,000 people have even taken the time to identify what the price is. How can we really say that we're willing to pay the price if we haven't taken the time to specifically identify what the price is? Sometimes when you identify what the price is, you may realize that, hey, this is a pretty high price. I don't know if I'm willing to pay it. And you may not be. And it's okay to say you're not willing to pay the price. So what you can do is change the price a little bit. Maybe instead of trying to attain a goal in a specific amount of time, maybe you need to extend the amount of time. And because of your extension of the time, you find that the price that you're having to pay to extend the time is not as bad. It's not as maybe as difficult on yourself or your family. These are all things that we have to take into consideration. Why do we usually not take a lot of these things into consideration when we first get excited about a specific goal? Well, the next statement gives us the answer. Don't set goals based only on emotion. That is a major snare, a major trap for a lot of people. They get excited, which is a good thing. A lot of the things that we really do based on emotion. But sooner or later, logic kicks in. The logic that kicks in is the logic that says, whoa, this is difficult. I've never got so many no's in all my life. And all of a sudden, we start thinking, well, wow, you know, I thought this was going to be really easy. What happens to the emotion now? Yeah, that big balloon of emotion that we have, what happens now? It starts getting smaller, and that emotional air is starting to go away. And if we're not careful, if that contrast from the emotion to the logic is so big, all that emotion will completely be gone. And you will find, and I'm sure you've seen it before, you've seen people that get all excited, and they're excited for maybe a month or a couple weeks or 2 or 3 months, and after a while, boom, you never hear anything about their excitement anymore. Why? Logic kicked in. So how do we take advantage of this knowledge? We take advantage of this knowledge by understanding what logic is. Logic is really reality. So we need to figure out, okay, yes, I'm excited about this. Look what I'll be able to attain. Look what I'll be able to do for myself, my family, for other people. This is great. This is exciting. But we got to put the but in there. Here's what's going to be involved. And then we write down what's going to be involved. Then we ask ourselves, am I willing to pay this price? And we continue to feed off of that emotion with the logic to keep going forward. That's where we put together that passion and keep working on fueling our passion. So all these things have to come together. Remember, as I mentioned quite extensively throughout this entire program, it's like dominoes. The program is designed to put all of our dominoes in line. Remember, if one domino is out of place, all the dominoes behind that one domino that's out of place, those are the only ones that are going to fall. After that, nothing's going to happen. The program is designed to make sure all those dominoes are in place. So when we touch one, they all come down. And you'll find what's interesting about this program, as we go from session 2 to session 9 to session 5, all the things eventually encompass each other. They all relate to each other. So when we get to the end of the program, the actual setting the goal process, we'll have all the dominoes in line, so that will enable the odds, if you will, to be that much greater for us to attain our goals. And session 10, we talked a lot about fears. Handling the fear of failure is the first blank, and success is the second. Handling the fear of failure and success. Remember the next statement, fill in the blank, perception. Perception plays a most important role with these fears. Perception plays a most important role with these fears. We're able to really go into a lot on how to identify perceptions, if they're negative perceptions, how to change those perceptions, and if they're positive perceptions, to make sure we know how to maintain them. And in session 11, that was the final segment of setting the goal. The final segment of setting the goal was session 7, and what we did there was we actually did an entire review. Fill in the blank on the last sentence there. Setting the goal is important, but following through makes them a reality. Fill in the two blanks there with the words following through. Yes, setting the goal is important, but following through makes them a reality. Well, friends, I hope I've been able to share with you a vast amount of information. Remember, they say that knowledge is power. Don't necessarily agree with that. Why? because knowledge is power only if you use it. So the key now is to go to the beginning of session one and find out what your evaluations were. Remember, if we said we had a 6 or less, that's the information that we really want to hone in on. Well, hopefully after this 3-month period, you've taken your 6s and you've dramatically increased them. If you have been successful in doing that, you will find that the goal-setting process is going to become easier and easier. If you're having a hard time with following through on your goals, go right to session one, and you'll be able to start going through all those questions, all those statements on that evaluation page, and most likely, guaranteed, you'll be able to find one of those statements that are slowing you down. Then you'll be able to go to that statement, go to the specific session that we really worked on that particular statement, and then we learn to change it, rehone things back again, get back to where you're supposed to be, go over that information, keep applying it, keep making those changes, and again, start working toward your goals, and you'll continue to find setting those goals become easier and easier and easier.
It's me back here in the studio. We're just about to wrap up, but first, we'll conclude the session with a few more one-on-ones. Let's listen in.
Okay, so let's get going. Rosalind, you're on the call. Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Chicago.
Chicago, very good. Why don't you go ahead with your question?
Okay, my question is about the process, the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
How does one really maintain that momentum even in view of the negative responses that you receive? You know, how do you keep self motivation going when you get all that feedback that isn't so positive?
Okay, you use the word momentum, not to put you on the spot, but
yeah.
give me a definition of momentum.
Momentum. Doing things. I mean, doing things, whether it's meeting with people or talking on the phone.
Okay, let me stop.
When I think about momentum, I think about actually, you know, actively participating in things that, you know, not just thinking about them or...
Okay.
You know.
All right, let me stop you there then.
Okay.
We spoke earlier in the program about the law of inertia. And the thing is, when it comes to momentum, when we are down and out and things are not going our way, keep in mind that momentum does not have to mean fast.
Okay.
Okay? It would be nice to have momentum 24/7, fast, fast, go, 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 go. But that's not realistic, and it's certainly not me. I'd like to tell you it was, but that's just not being human, I don't think.
Okay.
So let's identify that word momentum. Be careful not to be down on yourself too much when you're already down and you lose some of that momentum.
Mm-hmm.
The key is make sure you have some momentum, even though it's slow,
mm-hmm.
but it's still momentum.
Mm-hmm.
By looking at it this way, at least you give yourself permission to, this is rough, all right, you know, it's affecting me, it shouldn't, but I'm allowing it to, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do my best to at least keep some momentum going. Then, as you're trying to keep the momentum going, even though it's slowed down a little bit, that's probably where you'll want to go to session one and then figure out what specifically on session one is slowing you down. Because there's got to be something specific, a thought process that you are allowing to affect you to slow you down that's created that momentum at a lot slower pace. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what you need to do, though, and a lot of times we don't do this, Rosalind, you need to take the time and mentally stop and concentrate and try to work your way through this. It's like a person who can't swim. You throw them in the water, and they panic and freak out. You know, if you took a person who did not know how to swim, and if they wouldn't get so emotionally and mentally wrapped up into the fact they don't know how to swim, all they would have to do is hold their breath. If you put them into a pool, they'll sink to the bottom. When they get to the bottom of the pool, they just bend their knees and then shoot back up, get a breath of air, come back down, shoot back up, and they could work themselves all the way to the shallow end. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when we get into this negative emotion, we just panic. We're just in the deep end. Oh, my gosh, I can't swim. I'm freaking out. Let's just throw in the towel. And if you try to help the person, that person will take you down as well. So two of you go down now. And that's what we do with sometimes with our emotions. If we could just stop and realize, okay, what's happening here? I'm in the deep end. Okay, granted, I don't have a lot of time to think about this, but I need to go ahead and come up with a plan instead of freaking out. And when we get into some of this negative thought process, we don't many times stop to analyze, okay, here's where I'm at. I've slowed down. Let me see if I can, before I get too overly depressed here, let me see if I can figure out what's happened to cause this. Not the fact that you got a lot of no's, but what do those mean? How did you interpret those no's? Did you interpret those no's that that's, my plan is not going to work, I'm no good? How did you interpret those no's? When you figure out how you're interpreting those no's or the fact that you're not getting as far as you would like to, then and only then will you determine and be able to figure out how you can get out of that. And that's where you have to take the time and not panic to try to analyze what's going on. Because if by some chance you do get saved, when you do get back in the deep end again, you really haven't solved anything because you really don't know how to get back out of it. You relied on somebody else to get you out. That's why you've got to stop and think about this. And that's where it takes, you know, some conscious thinking on our part to learn to play games with our mind instead of our mind playing games with us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Does that help you? And if you have any more on that, that would help you. I'd be more than happy to keep going.
Well, it helps me a lot. And but if you're going to change your mindset about rejection, because if that's what's bothering me, are there some specific things that I can say to myself, like, you know?
Well, there are, but keep in mind, those things that you're going to say to yourself basically are positive thinking. And remember, positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
So you... For me to effectively answer this question, we'd have to take a lot of time, and that's where you'd want to go into the rest of the series before,
yeah, okay,
before all this. It's not just changing the thought process. Okay, that is a start. Yes, that's a good thing, but do we have all the other things that go along with this? And that's what you want to make sure that you have. But more than anything, identify what's going on, and then you can at least work on making those changes, and maybe you can go through some of the sessions and pinpoint exactly what session you're going to need to help change that.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Great. Stay on the call with us. Okay, Julie,
okay,
are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you again, Rosalind, for participating.
Thank you so much.
Julie, tell us where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Julie, fire away with some of your questions here. I think you've got a question at the bottom of your email that I've got. Go ahead.
Yes. My question's on your why. I have one question here. When I started working on my goals, I had a very, very strong why. Because, you know, I've got two young children, wasn't spending a lot of time, a lot of good quality family time.
Okay.
So working on my goals, I wanted to be home full-time with my kids. So that was very, very strong, and I did that within 6 months.
Okay, good.
So my question is, since then, it seems like since I made that why, there really isn't any other why out there as strong.
Okay.
That's driving me to get moving faster.
Okay.
So my question is it possible not to have another why that would keep my, that, you know, would prevent me from going forward, or maybe it's just maybe something altogether that I haven't figured out yet?
No, I think you honed it in there. If you don't have another why, you're probably going to lack some of your drive.
Right, but if that one was so strong and I don't have another one that strong, how do you...
Okay, well, let's look for another one. What about just the challenge of yourself? What about the challenge of beating the human mind? What about the challenge of one day feeling, I don't want to do this, and make yourself somehow change your thought process? When I say somehow, you know, I'm talking about all the information that we shared with, but get yourself to the point where you can take what it is that you don't like to do and turn it into something that you love to do. Challenge yourself to become more motivated, or what you can do, because your family and your children, those are your whys. What you can do is see if we can emphasize that even more and do even more for them. And also maybe look for other whys that might fulfill you. So maybe you want to spend even more time with them, or take them to a really cool dream vacation, or you want to include them and three of their friends or something along that line. But yes, you're still going to have to keep looking for whys, or at least appreciating what you have by telling yourself, you know, I worked this hard to get to this level. I need to continue to appreciate it, because what you could be doing if you're not careful, Julie, you could start to sabotage yourself. So what's going on right now may not necessarily be a bad thing, but as I've mentioned before, how does an alcoholic become an alcoholic? one drink at a time. So
yeah.
It doesn't mean just because you have one drink you're an alcoholic, but you could start to do some sipping right about now. And if you're not careful, you know, you might be sipping a little bit more than you need to. So watch out for that. Be honest with yourself. Analyze that. Am I starting now to maybe get a little lazy about all this? Because if you're not careful, it'll catch up to you real quick, and then you got to start all over again.
Right, so, I've experienced that.
Yeah, so now, okay, you just gave me maybe another clue then. If you have experienced that, if you're not careful, maybe what's happening, this is a pattern for you. If it's a pattern for you, what you're telling me is that you are probably sipping a little too much of that wine.
Okay.
Because you've done it in the past. So we've done it in the past, and we're doing it again? Wait a minute here now. I would, if I were you, I would put up a couple red flags here and say, whoa, let us not rock the boat. You know, I've got a pattern, and I better start changing this. So what you need to do then, if that is the case, you need to help reevaluate some of that why, or recognizing that this is a pattern, and your why could now be, I don't want to fall back into this pattern. That could be a why right there. And now you're relating that why to your original why you're doing this, your kids.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, it does.
But you need to keep analyzing that drive and that enthusiasm you have there.
Because I moved so fast at the beginning, and now it seemed to, you know, slow down.
Right.
I'm still getting up to the next level.
Sure.
It's taking longer.
Yeah, you need to analyze the pattern. I think you've touched in on a pattern there that could be very dangerous, so watch out for that.
Okay.
Okay? And again, look for your thought process or thought processes that might be changing that is also sabotaging some of this drive that you used to have. Maybe you're starting to think a little differently, and remember that thought process, for every thought you act on, you get a what? You get a result. So watch out for that. So maybe after this call, what you could do is take a little time and say, okay, how am I thinking a little differently now than I did when I was really driven? What thought process is changing a little bit? What am I allowing to happen that's a little different, so you can become your own doctor and your own patient?
Okay.
And then you can understand what's going on. And obviously, you already are to a degree, because you are developing the mentality that, hey, I'm looking for patterns here. I think I found one. I've got a little caution here. Let's talk about it. So you're on the right track. We just make sure it's something that we maintain some consistency with, so we don't have that up and down yo-yo syndrome.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good talking to you, Julie.
Thank you.
And we have time for one more. Anybody want to chime in?
Gary, I just want to say a huge thank you for the series, because there's been some major changes that I've made, particularly in looking at just what you've said, really, looking at the logistics of getting things to work and how to do it. I actually spent 12 and a half years in ministry as a Salvation Army officer, and I've never had the deep stuff that you have provided for us over these last 12 weeks. And for me, I think looking at the actual logistics of where I'm going, how I'm getting there, looking at the whys again, and just being able to zero in on that has made major changes in my business in the last month or so. It's really starting to move ahead because of that.
Good for you.
I've been able to cut back on the emotion and look at the logic a little bit more.
Excellent, excellent.
And I've been able to actually apply that in a lot of personal stuff as well as business stuff.
Good, good.
And, yeah, it's just been absolutely amazing, and that was really why I wanted to come onto the call this morning, just to say that and to encourage, you know, people like these two ladies this morning who have done this and are looking at it and really analyzing it. Keep going at doing that, because it does work.
Good for you. Well, Frances, I certainly appreciate that. Very, very kind of you.
I hope you've enjoyed this program as much as I've enjoyed putting it together. If I were to describe in a nutshell the main message of this entire program, what would it be? Simply put, setting the goal is important, but following through makes it a reality. So you've got to master you before you master your goals. And may you remember that dreamers, yes, true dreamers, never sleep. With their eyes closed, we dream.